Someone once said that there were like 256 different names in the Bible for Jesus. I've never counted anything up like that, and I don't really know if that's true. But I thought about that a bit, and I started thinking about, well, hey, you know, one of the names of Jesus that kind of got him into a good number of conflicts with the Jews and the Pharisees is the I Am. You know, and so today we're going to start a new sermon series, a series that we're calling The Great I Am. And throughout our series, we're going to take a look at who Jesus says he is. And to start things off, we're going to take a look at John chapter 8 and verses 48 through 59. That's the larger text that Jesse read for us this morning. So we're going to go ahead and read from our main text today. Again, this is John chapter 8, starting in verse 48. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "How do we know that you, now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You're not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Okay, so when I look at this, I just have two main questions for us to think about from this text this morning. And the first is, just who in the world did the Jews think Jesus was? Well, they didn't know that Jesus was the I Am, that's for sure. Instead, they said that he was one of three possible different things, didn't he? The first is that they said that he was someone who was demon-possessed. And that's back in verses 48 and 49. Now, that kind of seems a little out of the blue to call somebody demon-possessed, but the truth is, if you look at Jesus overall, right, at this time, he's sinless. He never did anything wrong. He's only helped people. He's only shown God's love. He's only followed God's commands. And so they couldn't come up with any true wrong to discredit him or to convict him of some sort of mischief that would say, hey, don't follow Jesus, you know. And so they started to attack him personally. And, you know, they probably did that because they ended up getting defensive like a lot of people do today when they can't handle the truth. And so they started to attack him with personal insults to try to discredit him. They called him a Samaritan. And in Jesus' day, that was actually an insult, because that would mean that you're not 100% Jew, you know. Plus, if that were true, then that would pretty well discredit Jesus' lineage as the Messiah. They also claimed that he was demon-possessed. In other words, they were basically calling him a crazy wacko nut job, you know. Again, it was their way of discrediting him so that no one would take him seriously. I mean, if you think about, you know, those who were demon-possessed that we see in the New Testament, they were not in their right mind, you know. Jesus is clearly in his right mind, can formulate good sentences and very good arguments. Isn't it amazing, though, when you think about what they did, you know, what people will do and say about someone when they don't want to deal with the truth? We might know some folks like that. Go easy on them, okay? Jesus did, as we'll see. Well, then look what they said about Jesus. They said that he was someone who was prideful. And that's in verse 53. They basically asked Jesus in a sarcastically mocking tone, just who do you think you are? Of course, Jesus didn't have to imagine or pretend to be someone that he wasn't. He knew exactly who he was. The Jews just didn't want to acknowledge and recognize him as the Messiah. You know, I think it's rather ironic, really, that these prideful Jews, so full of themselves and lording it over everybody, is accusing Jesus, the servant of all, as being full of himself and lording it over everybody and all full of pride, you know? Again, when we think about the way people tend to react against others, those who tend to accuse others of being all full of themselves and lording it over people and whatnot are often really the ones who are boasting and bragging and lording it over others. Lastly, in verses 58 and 59, the Jews said that Jesus was someone who was a blasphemer. Now, why did they say that? You could reference your sermon. Well, it's not on the sermon notes. It's in the bulletin. I've been putting it in the bulletin now. The article about was Jesus God. You could take a look at that, right? Anyway, let's read verse 58 again. In answering their question about his age, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. In other words, Jesus said that he was older than Abraham. But how could that be? He's a young guy, you know? Well, because he is saying, I am the I am. And you think, well, what does that mean? Well, way, 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 way back, but not before Abraham's physical birth. Well, not before, yes, yeah, you know. We read about Moses meeting God at Mount Horeb in Exodus chapter 3. And after a little meet and greet and an assignment by God to go and help deliver the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, Moses says this in verses 13 and 14 of Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. No Popeye related at all. He says, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. You say, okay. I mean, what does that mean? I am. Well, in Hebrew, God's name is made up of just four consonants. And most people pronounce that name Yahweh. And the Hebrew word itself means to be, as in to live, to exist. In other words, God, in his essence, is life, and that life is found in him alone. God is. God is the self-existent one who is personal and engaged with creation. He is before creation. He is the one who made creation. Okay, in that way, of course, Jesus, being the I am, was way before Abraham, you see. God is a very particular God, of course, especially about how people use his name. For example, over in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, a part of the Ten Commandments, God says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And you can be pretty well sure that the Jews, the scribes, and the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law all knew that very, very well. And so, for hundreds, if not thousands of years, people were very, very careful about using God's name. So much so that they didn't even speak it. There are still Hebrews today that don't even say God. They don't write it right, GD, okay? Serious, little dash, you know. Don't want to even attempt to say Yahweh. Because to be honest, we're not even sure if that's how you say it, because they stopped saying it. Of course, sadly, people don't really care too much how they use God's name today. The thing is, it is very important to not misuse God's name. Here's what Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 16 has to say. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him, whether an alien or native born. When he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. And so really, no one should ever insult or show contempt or lack of reverence for God, or claim to have the same power or ability as God, or claim to be God, which Jesus just did, because it's true. And so what Jesus said back in John chapter 8 and verse 58 was that he is the I Am, that he is in fact Yahweh. And the fact that he said that would indeed make him incredibly older than Abraham, older than anyone could count. But that's not why they wanted to stone him, right? They believed he was blaspheming. They said, okay, you know, you think you're God, it's time to stone you. Remember, it's not about the age thing. It's about who he said he was. All right, anyway, again, they said that Jesus was someone who was demon-possessed. And they said that he was someone who was prideful, full of themselves, you know. They said that he was someone who was a blasphemer. But Jesus said, I am the I Am. All right, so let's talk about that some more. Let's talk about what Jesus said here, again, in our main text in John chapter 8, that shows us that Jesus knew that he was the I Am. Back at verse 49, we can see that Jesus knew that he was not demon-possessed. And he showed it, right? You know, I mean, if Jesus was demon-possessed, then he simply would not be able to do the things that he had been doing. Again, think about Legion. You know, all beaten up, not even really clothed, dirty, out of his mind. Think about other people who just not speak on their own accord. They were demon-possessed. They could not function like Jesus functioned at all. Just think about what we know about demon possession in the New Testament. If Jesus was possessed by a demon, he would have most likely been irate and out of control. But that's not the Jesus we see. The Jesus we see is calm and patient, and refuted them logically with the truth. Again, think about that. You know, like Jesus, if anyone ever accuses us of things that aren't true, then we need to respond with that same kind of attitude, the same patience and tact. After all, why get so defensive if we're not guilty? Jesus also knew that he was humble, and that's not a humble brag. And we see that in verses 50 and 54. If you just look at Jesus' life overall, Jesus never made himself out to be anything other than what he was. I mean, he is a servant. He's out there helping people and taking care of people. He's healing people. He's teaching people the scriptures. This is not someone who is full of himself and prideful. He's doing dirty work, okay? This is a humble man. But the Jews, well, they were totally full of pride, and they tried to put themselves in the place of God. They even came up with extra rules and regulations for the people to follow because they knew better than God. Thing is, again, we could be just as guilty if we're not careful. And so we need to remember who we are and where we came from and what we were before Christ. We need to be humble like Jesus. Jesus also knew that he was the Savior, like he said over in verse 51. He knew that he came to seek and save the lost. He knew that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. And so he knew that he was the Savior of the world. You could just look at John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He knew that. He said that. He proclaimed that. So he knew that. There's nothing that the Pharisees or anyone could teach that would offer the same salvation. Jesus also knew that he was God. There are many examples other than the one that we looked at in our passage today. But you know, there are a lot of people, again, who think they know God. They might even claim to speak for God. The Jews, especially the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law, thought they knew God. Sure, they knew the scriptures. They could quote the scriptures. They could tell you, you know, what to do and not to do on the Sabbath day. They knew all the things of the law backwards and forwards, you know. They knew God's word, but they didn't know God. So Jesus says in verse 55, though you do not know him, have an intimate relationship with him, I know him, Jesus says. If I said I did not, I'd be a liar like you. I wouldn't use that in a conversation, by the way, especially with your spouse. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Sadly, the Jews, again, didn't really know God. Again, they knew a lot of what God said, but they didn't know God. They didn't have an intimate relationship with God. They didn't really know God, but Jesus knew God. And like we saw in verses 57 and 58, Jesus also knew that he was God. Jesus is the I Am, the one who was and is to come. And again, as we go through our sermon series over the next couple of weeks, Jesus will reveal to us that he is the bread of life and the light of the world and the gate and the good shepherd and the resurrection and the life and the way and the truth and the life and the true vine. Of course, Jesus knew all of that. But the Jews didn't. Even when he told them and showed them by signs and wonders, they still chose not to believe. Instead, they picked up stones at the end of chapter 8 and wanted to kill him. But it wasn't time for Jesus to die yet, and so we're told in verse 59 that Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Okay, so the Jews didn't know the I Am, but Jesus knew that he was the I Am. So, what does that fact mean for you and me? In other words, what does Jesus being the I Am mean to us? Well, again, I think it's important to really think about all that, because over and over again, we'll see that Jesus says he is the I Am. All right? There's no one else who is the I Am. And because I am, Jesus says, he can supply what he's promised to give us. And that sounds really good, you know. But again, what does that mean? Well, over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, we're told that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. I mix up translations in my head sometimes. Anyway, that's what you get when you read so many translations. King James squeaks in, New American Standard squeaks in. Anyway, it's all there, though. Well, just to make sure that we understand what God is telling us here, though, he's not, you know, we're not talking about things like wealth and power or even health. Still, those things make life more comfortable, you know, and more functionable. But all of that will eventually come to an end. But the I Am will always be. And if we have the promises of the I Am, then we will be where He is. Just think about what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 19 through 21 about the things of this world. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." That's where your treasure is. It's going to go away. It's going to disappear, right? He says in verse 20, "But store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy." Good thing to know there's no moths in heaven. Grace is very deathly afraid of moths. I'm not really sure what it is. It might have to do with an old Godzilla movie I saw years ago with Mothra, but I don't know. He says, don't put your treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, our focus isn't supposed to be on things like wealth and power or even health. Our focus is supposed to be on things like God's love, God's forgiveness, and eternity. Those are the things that the I Am has promised us. Those are the things that will never come to an end. The I Am has promised us, and the I Am is faithful and keeps His promises. The Apostle Paul said it this way over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, "I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day." And so what Paul is saying here is that I can trust the I Am. I can trust Jesus to protect everything that I leave in His care. But I can't trust the things of this world. I can't trust the things of this world to last. I can't trust the things of this world to protect me. I can't trust the things of this world to help me survive. I can't trust the things of this world, period. But I can trust Jesus because He is the great I Am. And I need Him to survive. Think about it again. Jesus is the one who will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus is here now, always and forever. The I Am has been making and keeping and that promise for generations. You know, you could go back throughout the scriptures. I think back to when God made that same promise to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. The I Am said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I think I might have that on a tie. I was looking for it, but I came up with Bugs Bunny instead today. What can you do? That's me. And the I Am, though, makes that same promise to you and me. And so no matter what you're going through, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Because Jesus is the great I Am, and He will be with you no matter where you go and no matter what happens to you. Now, earlier in John chapter 8, before all of what happened in our main text, in verse 24 of John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am," there's the I Am again, really, "the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." Again, think about what Jesus said here, right? He said, if we reject the idea that Jesus is the I Am, that Jesus is God, then we're going to die in our sins because we've refused the only cure that God has given us to get rid of our sins and so be saved. You know, it's like going to the doctor and he tells you that you've got COVID-19. But he tells you you've not only got COVID-19, but you have a serious form of the disease. If you don't take this, this, and this medicine that he gives you, you will die. So what are you going to do? Well, if you're smart and you want to live, you know, you take the medicine. And then you're better, right? You're cured. But if you're not so smart, then you don't, and you die. The point is, sin is serious. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, unless you take the cure, right? And the cure is the forgiveness of those sins by Jesus and Jesus alone, the great I am. There's a story about this Christian who was praying one day, and this Christian asked God, "Who are you, God?" God answered, "I am." "But who is I am?" the Christian asked. God replied, "I am love. I am peace. I am grace. I am joy. I am power. I am the creator. I am the comforter. I am the beginning and the end. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now amazed and humbled, the Christian in tears looked up and said, "I think I understand now, but who am I?" God tenderly wiped away the tears and he whispered, You're mine. And you can be God's too by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your trust in him, to turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, well, you continue to live your life for him until he comes back again, or you go to be with him. For those of us who are already Christians, well, may we always trust and hope in the faithfulness of the I Am and do our best to help others to trust and hope in him too. Again, if anyone has the need to come forward this morning to share or to seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, I would like to encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing the song of the Selector.